This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It's Monday, June 10th, 2019. For those of you who are listening on a downloaded basis, that's the day we're doing. You're listening to. Appreciate so many of you tuning in and dialing in and downloading. We got a fair number of regular live broadcast listeners, but the vast majority of you listen to it on a downloaded basis. And we hear from people all over everywhere. And we're just thrilled to have you be a part of this podcast. I encourage us to keep going. We do this anyway. I don't think we do this. It's so much fun whether anybody listens, but it really makes it worthwhile when so many people, thousands upon thousands, listen. Anyway, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. And what? It's for mortgage professionals. And we are grateful to have you as our listener. We say that each week, but it can't be underestimated enough. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We're also proud to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. Go check out industrysyndicate.com. They do a great job of pushing out a whole bunch of us that are podcasting. It's a group of us, as it suggests, a syndicate of podcasters. We're glad to be a part of it, although quit referring to me as the old grandpa. Anyway, we're proud to get into continuing of our discussion, of our hot topic discussion last week in the hot topic segment. We're talking about leadership. You know, They say the best for last, but it was all good. Listen to last week's if you haven't. But this week we're going to be getting into leadership, strategy, 360 management, channel, and technology. It's really going to be a great topic, and this is going to be featuring an intense, fun, lively discussion of Andy and I. And Alice could not make the podcast today. She's in a management meeting. Joe, you're not going to be able to join us for more than just your opening segment because we had a thunderstorm go through our area here in Central Texas last night. And Joe has a lake house not too far from where we live. We had one of the biggest trees in our front yard come down. And Joe's getting equipment to saw up all the stuff that came down at his place. So anyway, we're thrilled that we could have him here at least for a little bit, the opening part of the program, but not here for the hot topic. Before we get started, I want to say a special thank you to the Mortgage Bankers Association of America for being a sponsor of the podcast, as well as Black Knight, today's competitive market. It's so critical that lenders deliver decision quality. Listen to that, decision quality business intelligence. And get it to the right employees at the right time. To answer this demand, Black Knight has developed this actionable, intelligent platform. And they deliver that data in a manner that drives growth and reduce cost. To learn more about the intelligence this powerful solution can provide, head over to Black Knight's website, which is Black Knight, with spelled with a K, Black, K-N-I-G-H-T, Inc., I-N-C.com. Appreciate their sponsorship. Also, Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans and the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Very excited about their LiveWell. They picked up a large group of the LiveWell reverse mortgage folks that are out there. They're joining LiveWell. I just met with Bruce last week in Open Mortgage's offices, so very exciting about what's going on there. Also, it's so good to have Finastra back. They do an awesome job. They have their mortgage bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues, automatically addresses them. And for those of you who have worked with, quote unquote, other leading systems, you know how you can't always trust the compliance engine as is embedded in their other technology. Anyway, it just really helps to deliver a borrower enhanced satisfaction, increasing productivity, and allowing you to get greater market share. Check out Finastra at finastra.com. And we're also thrilled to have our newest sponsor, Resex Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. And, of course, we have Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both are co-ops that are creating competitive advantages for lenders and vendor members. We're always grateful for Velma. The Brent Emler and the team over at Velma do a great job of getting the emails out. Email's not dead, folks. You can still use it. It is shifting over to texting. Brent and I were just talking about that on Friday. Also, Knowledge Coop, if you're looking for a way to train your staff in a fun and easy way, it's a great tool and technology. Check out Knowledge Coop as well as Vidyard. You know, Beth and I were talking, my business partner Beth, TMS and I were talking about how effective it can be to communicate out using this online video platform. We use it in our business to send out recommendations, and we add a video to it. It's amazing. Do you know that the probability of your email or message getting open and fully watched goes up by 80% if there's a video attached to it? So powerful, so true. Check out vidyard.com. And finally, a special thank you goes out to our regulars, Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe, for their contributions to this podcast each and every week. And before I forget, I want to say Amy Moses at MERS is a faithful listener. Thank you, Amy. And I forgot to mention about the e-mortgage boot camp last week, so I want to make sure I'm doing that this week. Check out the e-mortgage boot camp. It is in Reston, Virginia, June 26th. This is a really affordable deal, and many of you that are not doing or looking to learn how to get into e-mortgages, this is a boot camp, which means it gets you started at the beginning. It's a great tool. You'll enjoy it. I highly recommend you check it out at mersinc.org/bootcamp. There you go, Amy. I got your public service message in. I'm so sorry I didn't do that last week. Check it out, folks, but it's coming up very quickly, June 26th. They'll have other ones, but this is the one that's here and the immediate opportunity. Okay, now it's time to get over to Rob Van Raphorst with his MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, this is Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, President Trump signed a $19.1 billion disaster aid bill. This new law also includes a four-month extension to the National Flood Insurance Program until September 30th. The House is expected to introduce legislation this week that will provide longer-term funding as well as reforms to the program. Also last week, the full House Appropriations Committee passed its T-HUD spending bill. The bill would provide HUD $50.1 billion for FY 2020. It provides $300 million for HUD's Cybersecurity and IT Fund and a specified $20 million for FHA's single-family IT infrastructure. And finally, last week, the Senate passed S-1749, the Protect Affordable Mortgages for Veterans Act of 2019, by unanimous consent. The bipartisan bill will now be sent to the full House of Representatives, where it is expected to be considered under suspension. Specifically, it would correct a legislative drafting error that prevented VA-guaranteed orphan loans from being eligible for Ginnie Mae pooling. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good job. Appreciate it. Appreciate our partnership with the MBA. Very pleased with what they're doing and the leadership they bring our industry. And Rob, you do an awesome job with the MBA Mortgage Minute. Much appreciated. You know, I spoke last week at the Austin Mortgage Bankers Association, and I spoke about the power of texting and what it can do to your response rates. And I started talking about the digital business card. I talk about it each week. And if you're not using it, you need to check it out. Go over to our website and check out lickitonlending.com. And then on the upper right-hand corner, it'll show you an example of my card if you click on where it says the digital business card. Show you how you can use it. What's really interesting now, I have sent out, I mean, I speak a lot, granted, and I have a lot of people downloading my business card. And I've shared it, I don't know, 400 or 500 times. But what's so powerful is my network, as a result of that being shared and then reshared and reshared and reshared, is now over 24,000 people have my business card. And every time someone opens it, I get a notification. How cool is that? Are you doing that? You can't do that with paper, folks. So you got to check out this digital business card. It works. I carry a few paper cards just so for those people. Since you have a regular paper card, but I don't even get asked for it because of the wow factor that this has. So check it out, top of our website. Les Parker, I always love what he's got for us and the macro view of the markets. And be sure to check out the TM Spotlight. This week, we're going to get Les's take on the markets with the macro view. Here you go, Les.
Loan Logic sponsors TM Spotlight Soundbites. They want to own the slip, word upon your lip, blotter that you rip. Break books down and build books up, whatever it takes, because they love the adrenaline in their veins. The European Central Bank's QE tail covered whatever it takes to a finite end. It broke down books, aka portfolios, while it built its book up. Now they, the European central bankers, see foreign investors exiting some of its weakest sovereign debt since the QE juice ends soon. The current unwinding pales to the pre-QE days, but wait for the actual fall of QE. Markets will once again define. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I do what it takes.
I do what it takes. Yes, Les, good job. And Gary, you do a great job of editing that each week. I appreciate that. You know, we come from parts all over the place, and we even come broadcasting live from the local Home Depot parking lot. That's where Joe Farr is. Joe, good to have you here. I know you got to go clean things up, but I appreciate you taking time dialing in as you get tools to clean up the mess you got out there.
I had to roll up the windows because a guy just drove by on a trying out a new zero-turn lawn tractor. So.
Oh, well, that's what happens, you know. But we had a heck of a storm here. I mean, that was nasty. I've never seen the two. We lost a big tree in our front yard, and you lost some limbs, and our next door neighbor's tree got just literally cracked off like it. Someone came through and just snapped like a toothpick at about 4 feet up this big trunk. So, crazy weather. And
it was.
But Dallas, man, our daughter lives up there, and then that crane falling and someone getting killed. It's just Texas weather is something else. But let's talk about the markets.
Well, today, I guess not a lot's going on. The JOLTS report came out this morning, and it wasn't too far from what was expected. It didn't have a big effect on the market. As we stand right now, MBS prices are down about 10 basis points so far.
Yep. Yeah, it's looking like it's kind of it's just squiggling right down in that area right now, Joe, but it may be falling. It may have fallen further a little bit since we talked last. So, yeah.
Last week was a good week for stocks, and it wasn't bad for bonds. And so when stocks and bonds move in the same direction, oftentimes that has to do with something that the central banks have done. And in fact, last week, several Fed speakers, including Chairman Powell, made comments that led the market to believe that the Fed is closer to a rate reduction than what was previously thought. And then the jobs report came out on Friday, and it was weaker than expected. Both the current month and prior months were revised lower. So, you know, that added to the thought that the Fed may be more likely to reduce rates in the not too distant future. So that was a big driver for stocks, and it certainly didn't hurt bonds. Jobs report, as I mentioned, was weak. Only 75,000 new jobs were announced, 180 were expected, 75,000 downward revision to prior months was announced. And, well, a small reduction in the average annual hourly wage. And so that, too, is a nice inflation report for the Fed. As was mentioned in Les's deal, the ECB did come forward with a statement that it will keep rates low at least until the middle of 2020. Now, previously they had said they'll keep rates low until the end of 2019. So they have added 6 months more time to that, which is, you know, a slightly beneficial thing for Fed easing policy, not Fed, but central bank easing policies. And then when the stock market really reacted favorably to the conclusion of the tariff issue with Mexico. So now that that's not going to happen, a favorable reaction. So Dave, looking at the week ahead, there's not a lot on the calendar. What we have, a couple inflation reports that will give the market more to think about as far as, you know, what the Fed may or may not do. PPI comes out tomorrow. CPI comes out on Wednesday. And then retail sales is going to come out on Friday. And
Friday.
You might remember April was just an awful retail sales number. And
yeah.
So they're expecting a pretty good one this month. So we'll see how that runs. And, you know, the 19th is the next Fed meeting, so Fed speakers aren't going to be making speeches. The Fed members aren't going to be making speeches this week, so we won't get any of that kind of information to affect the market. So just a couple inflation reports and the retail sales numbers this week.
Interesting. Well, the retail sales, that's going to be a big one. That could be
a big indicator.
That'll be a big one. Appreciate you taking time when you're out having to clean up messes to dial in, and
I appreciate it
so much.
I apologize for not being able to stay out the whole show, but you and Andy can handle this.
Oh, yeah. Andy and I started talking about leadership. It's going to be hard to get a word in edgewise. But we'll miss you, friend, but thank you so much for dialing in. Appreciate it very, very much. You bet. There's so much on the calendar to talk about, and we're going to take a quick moment to talk to Scott Gordon about leadership. It's one of the most important things we can be looking at. You know, you talk about sales. We talk about sales being just this, it's a bunch of people going out and telling people whatever they think they need to hear. It's not. It's much, very much of a science. I love these segments by Scott. So, Scott, what you got for us today?
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. I'm sure that many of you are aware of the principle of reciprocity, which is a social rule stating that people feel obligated to repay what another person is giving them. This need is hardwired into our brains. Think of the old adage, the more you give, the more you get. By giving customers something small for free, the customer is much more likely to reciprocate in a subconscious attempt to repay the gift. So how can you use this knowledge ethically to boost your business? The first step is to determine what you can give. What would be of value? A trinket given for a completed app or an inquiry? Shift your thinking to something intangible and far more valuable. Knowledge, experience, or time. That is your gift to your customer. In an industry full of disinformation and a society where everyone is rushed, sharing your knowledge garnered from experience goes a long way. In the end, you're not selling anything. Your conversations are an opportunity to gift your time, attention, knowledge, and experience. Shift your perspective from the chore of talking to potential customers to the giving of a gift. It will give you insights on those discussions and will probably bring you more business. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
That's good stuff. I appreciate that. Thank you. I love those segments. Scott, check out the website, openmortgage.com, to learn more. There is a ton of content on that website. I love how they give away information. There's Givers and Takers. It's one of my favorite books. Scott is a giver. He gives away a lot of information. So check it out. Alan Pollack. Alice can't be joining us today because she's off at a management retreat. We always miss Alice and her segment, but we've got Alan Pollack, and he just flew up to New York and diving into a meeting and took time to dial in. So it's, what's the tech update today, friend?
Thanks for having me. There is so much going on, and I'm going to bring up a topic. I'm going to bring up a couple really cool things, but I'm also going to bring up a topic which we sort of tailed off on last, what consumers are thinking. And I thought this was kind of cool, Dave. Be Smarty launched a kiosk that you can put at an open house or at a builder site. So you just Google it, check it out. It's pretty cool. They even list a couple reasons of why you could or couldn't be successful if you haven't worked with them. I'm putting a kiosk out there. But, you know, I think going back so many years ago, even when I was a loan officer, I used to print out, right, different sell sheets. And I know that there's a new wave of doing that today, especially, you know, total cost analysis with our friends over at Mortgage Coach, and there's many others doing different things.
Yep.
But putting an actual kiosk out there, will that or will that not work? I don't know the answer to that. But I thought it was very interesting to see that. Also, you know, everybody's talking about blockchain. It's going to be great, but it's too slow, or I don't see it fitting, or there's going to be too many ledgers to subscribe to. Well, Vanguard, and we all know Vanguard, they're a pretty big company. They're now using blockchain technology to help manage $1.3 trillion in index funds. They're a 44-year-old mutual giant company. Since February, they've been using blockchain to ingest $1.3 trillion worth of funds, or one quarter of its total $5.2 trillion in assets. Many financial institutions have been implementing this, so this story actually comes from Forbes, and they have a list called the Blockchain 50. Forbes is on the top of that. Vanguard's on the top of that list.
Yeah, Vanguard, yeah.
And you want to check out this article. There's all great pieces of information. Almost all of their customer accounts are now on blockchain. So if you don't think blockchain can work, think again, because I do think in the right environment, in the right setting, with the right money and technology, it can definitely work. And then, Dave, a couple quick little things. Notarize just rolled out an e-closing platform with the Texas-based Thrive Mortgage. So now consumers can buy, sell, and finance their homes from Starbucks or in their underwear, whichever they feel better doing. Also, Closing Corp just put out what they call Smart Engine. Now, I've been working with Closing Corp in the past. You know, everybody knows that they have a lot of great fees, and they've been the one go-to vendor for a while. There's a couple vendors now. So what they're basically saying is, you know, they've just got new technology that supports all of the lenders' information, the overlays, the investor fees across channels and platforms. So you want to check out Closing Corp. This one is pretty cool. I've heard a lot of people talk about income analysis, right? That's one of the next areas we're going with digital enablement.
Yep.
So you want to check out IndyCom Global Services. They just launched what they call Income Genius that automates the income calculation platform. We could spend a whole podcast on that, by the way, because it has to do with acquiring data and OCR and you know, approved day one certainty vendors. And so, but great. Go check it out. Income Genius. And then I want to talk about a survey from Fannie Mae. This comes back to what we talked about with that TD Bank survey from last week.
Right.
So it's called Consumers Continue to Overestimate Mortgage Requirements, and Lenders Have an Opportunity to Help Close the Knowledge Gap. And so you know that they do these quarterly surveys. And so what this one basically says is that the vast majority of Americans prefer homeownership over renting a home. So we know that, right? We know times are good.
Yep.
And many, although many are uncertain or mistaken about the qualifications required to get that mortgage. And so what they're saying is despite an increased exposure to credit scores and online resources, consumers' understanding about what it takes to qualify has not improved since their original study in 2015. And so they surveyed 3,000 people, and they did a comparison since 2015. Here it is. They're saying more consumers report seeing their credit score recently, but close to half of those cannot recall what it is. The second thing, although the usage of online sources of mortgage information is becoming more common among consumers, they still overestimate the minimum credit score and down payment necessary to qualify, and they're unfamiliar with low down payment programs, which we briefly mentioned last week. And lastly, Fannie Mae is saying the lack of mortgage qualification understanding is pervasive, even among current homeowners who say they are actively planning to purchase a home in the next 3 years. And, you know, what's most important is that what we think we're doing for consumer education, you know, as we continue to talk about filling the funnel, right, and whether it's chatbots or it's different marketing strategies, we really need to educate the consumer. So I'm just going to go back to last week. You know, TD Bank, they did their sixth annual mortgage service index, same topic. And what they said, first time in 6 years, the top three sources of information used by home buyers did not include online sources. I'm going to say that again because we've been saying the opposite.
Yeah.
For the first time in 6 years, the top three sources of information used by home buyers did not include online sources. Here's what TD Bank says they came from. So realtors brought over 51%. The local bank, a representative from the local bank, brought over 42%, and family and friends were 38%, signaling that prospect buyers, as TD Bank calls them, are seeking personalized advice and guidance. So there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of needed understanding. There's a lot of education. And so when you talk about all the different ways that we do digital marketing and engagement with folks,
right.
The loan officer is never going to go away. We need to help. These folks want to talk to somebody. We just need to help get them engaged. So a lot of great feedback and content in there. Yeah, but it's a good topic.
It's a hot, hot topic. And I want to, because you're doing some very significant work in this area, Alan. I mean, I wish everyone could understand all that you're doing and how much you're doing. I think you're fast becoming the digital marketing expert in the nation. Honestly, I mean, with at least how we can be tech-enabled. We have a tech-enabled LO, we have a tech-enabled consumer, and when we bring the two together, we should have LOs dramatically increasing the amount of loans they can do in a particular period of time. Because while the consumer, you know, has all these tools, they do, as you say, want to talk to somebody. But they still want to do a lot online. So let me ask it as a question. I started asking it rhetorically. Sure. Are you seeing, does this suggest that consumers are wanting to get their general information, do their discovery with people?
They do.
Or do they just, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's
because we're not seeing that.
There's a whole bunch of great information online. Consumers want to do the research online. They want to learn about what's available.
That's what I was saying.
And then they want to pull the ripcord, but then they want to pull the ripcord and say, now I want to talk to somebody. But they want to go
now I'm ready to talk. Yeah.
That's right, into those conversations. And I got to be honest, you know, you think about what did today's conversation have to do with technology? Well, if you think about what I said first with Be Smarty putting the kiosk out there and then coming through all of the different updates, right? The kiosk starts with the point of sale. What do you put in front of that consumer? Do they know anything about a mortgage? Or do you present someone that just got married that's getting their first condo or townhouse for, you know, a low amount of money? And do you teach them about a mortgage in that kiosk, or do you have them fill out and you capture all their income, right, like our normal digital mortgage systems? And we have to figure out what is that fine line by where we educate versus just draw them into the process. And then we need to use as much data and automation in the back end. So I think it's safe to say that not everybody has engaged with a digital point of sale just yet. I think not all the point of sales are perfect. They're all great. Just like I said last week, I think all the LOS systems are great. They all offer something different and unique. And now it's how do we bridge all these systems together to really put together a platform that answers to our specific customer. And I know, Andy, you brought up something last week when we talked about, or the week prior, when we talked about being able to know your customer, survey them, understand, you know, the financial data, where does it cost you money, where does it not cost you money? But it's all one big picture that has to be painted. But yes, David, so that's how it all finality this week.
Good stuff. I know I wish I could have you stay involved in the Hot Topic segment, but you got to run off to a meeting. Appreciate you dialing in from New York City, live from New York City, a hotel near
I'm
there.
I'm from New York. Good to be
here.
Yeah,
live from New York. Appreciate it, Fred. Have a great trip this week and successful business meetings for you, man. Appreciate it. Talk to you, Alan.
Talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you. You bet. All right, folks. That's probably him hitting the down elevator. He had to go catch a meeting and walk right into it. So we appreciate him being here. We're going to run over and talk to Knowledge Cube, Nathan at Knowledge Cube.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Cube. Do you need to teach a course? Have you considered maybe using the Socratic method? See, it's a process of using questions that engage learners to question their assumptions in order to eliminate contradictions. The primary goal is not to have listeners try to answer unanswerable questions, but to get them to develop critical thinking and to keep them engaged in your topic. Have you got some training to do? Check out the Knowledge Cube for fun and easy video-based training for the mortgage professionals out there. And it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Good job, Nathan. Appreciate it. Nathan Nottingham. And by the way, he is an amazing – we're friends on Facebook. I see the furniture this dude creates. It is amazing. He is skilled all so many ways. But he does a lot at Knowledge Coop. He does a lot there at Knowledge Coop. But he and you can see a lot of what he does at knowledgecoop.com. Not talking about the woodwork. I'm talking about the training material. Get to be friends with him on Facebook if you want to see this cool stuff he builds. Anyway, knowledgecoop.com. Andy Schell, my good friend, good to have you here. And I am so excited. We'll do a little talking about profitability, the Profit Doctor segment, and then we're going to roll right into my favorite topic where you and I just hours blink by. We only have minutes today.
Absolutely.
But we're hours blink by when we talk about leadership strategy and all the good stuff we're going to talk about. So let's start off with the Profit Doctor segment, and then let's roll right into leadership.
Sure, of course, absolutely. And then we could, in the middle of all that, circle back to Alan's comment about surveys. So
yes.
Starting with profit, though, as you requested. So today is the 10th. Today is June the 10th. So what does that mean? Today is June the 10th. So that means that we know how many loans we closed in May. And if we're doing 70 or less loans a month, we should be knowing what our profitability was. We should know our profit per branch, our profit per originator, our profit by product, our revenue for each product type, our borrowing levels for every warehouse line lender. And you need that information because that then gives you a basis for making decisions. It also gives you information about your activity so you can confirm if your volume in May was what you were expecting, if the mix of product has changed because that can affect cash flow. You know, if you think you're going to do $30 million of FHA and you do $30 million of conventional, well, your revenue just dropped by a point because the gain on sale is usually about a point less with conventional versus FHA. So that means that your activity to originate the loans was not substantially different. The argument is that FHAs are a little harder to process, but sometimes that's not that big of a deal. The commission is the same. So your costs are the same, but your revenues dropped simply because you had a different product mix. So you got to know this stuff. And then by knowing that you had a product mix change, which actually in the cash flow side of this, we should be monitoring every week because it affects what's going to happen next. When our pipeline starts filling up and we expected a 50-50 split, conventional FHA, and all of a sudden it's 70, 80, 90% FHA, we better pay attention to that, because that means when those loans close, we're not going to have as much cash as we thought we were going to have. So we have to predict that. We have to anticipate that. We have to have a cash flow forecast that shows us the impact looking forward 30, 60, 90 days based on anticipated closings and estimating the product mix, because the gain on sales are different. You can even have this issue happen among one company that's in multiple states, where, like, if you're in rural Utah with $200,000 loan balances and you're also in Seattle with $500,000 loan balances, just those two differences will affect the gain on sale, because you have a higher gain on sale in Utah because the loan balances are lower, but the cost of origination is the same. So lots to consider, lots to keep up with. You got to put your finger on the pulse and understand these differences to really effectively manage your business.
That is so true. These little nuances, they're not so much nuances, but it's kind of basic stuff, but people treat them like nuances. It's not.
I'll give you another example. So let's say you've got a Utah office with $200,000 loan balance and a Seattle office with $500,000 loan balances. And one of the things that you're measuring of your two offices is units per originator. Well, if you blend the numbers together and say, oh, look, we have 2.4 loans per originator, that is flawed at its core. Because in Utah, or you could be in Texas for that matter, low balance markets, originator has to do 3 or 4 loans just to make ends meet. Whereas in Seattle, you know, they could do 1 or 2 and be okay. So you can't look at just these rules of thumb and say everybody does 2 loans a month, we're good. That's not true. You're in Texas and every originator's maybe doing 2 loans, you're failing. You're in Seattle and everybody's doing 2 loans, you're probably doing okay. So you've got to consider the impact of this stuff and really drill down and understand the impact it's having on your business.
So important. Good stuff, Andy. Well, that wraps up the first half of our topic. That, by the way, is Profit Doctor Andy Schell, CPA, CFF, CMB, now almost to have his PhD, Department Managing Partner at mbs-team.com. Andy, good job. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. You're very kind.
Yeah, well, you've got full of wisdom, and I appreciate having the Profit Doctor. I remember back in the old days, I had to talk you into, like, a podcast. Like, what's that? 10 years ago. Can you believe that? Now you're one of the stars, but you've hung in here the whole time, and persistence and consistency is one of the keys to success. I appreciate that about you so much. Thanks for being here.
Well, that's an interesting point. That leads into some of the management, because it's not about saying no. It's about saying, help me understand. So when you said to me 10 years ago, let's do a podcast, and rather than saying, oh, Dave, that's another one of your dumb ideas. I would never say that, by the way. But I would say, well, I don't see it, but I trust you and I believe in you. So help me understand what you're seeing. Help me understand
what
this is.
That's exactly what you
do. But that's what leaders need to do. You should. People walk into your room, your office, you shouldn't say, oh, that's a stupid idea. You should say, help me understand. That's part of the Socratic process as well, that they were just, the MBA was just talking about applying the Socratic process.
Well, by the way, before we forget, and you had mentioned in your segment, Profit Doctor segment, about Alan's comment. You wanted to comment about the
surveys.
You want to jump in and do that real quickly?
Yeah, I'll do it real quick. So you own you're the store manager of a great big grocery store. You know, if you're in the South or Texas, as HEB, it's Kroger. It could be Safeway. So you've got a great big grocery store, and you're walking down the aisle, and you see a shopper, and you walk up to him, and you say, do you like this brand of coffee? And they go, oh, no, I hate it. So you then say, okay, you tell the store manager, take all of that coffee off the shelf. That person doesn't like it. Remove it. As a matter of fact, remove it from the entire chain of stores. Remove that coffee brand because that person doesn't like it. That's insane. We would never really do that. We would want to make certain that we've got a cross-section of shoppers and that we listen to as many of them as we can. We identify a sample that really represents the shoppers in that market because we want to have a really good basis for making a decision about preferences like that, like which coffee to have. That's the same thing with a survey. When you apply a survey to customers, you are unlikely to get an accurate representation unless you have a legitimate sample. And a sample is simply a segment of the population of your shoppers, not everybody, but whoever your likely customers are. And there's lots of ways to do this. But it's really, really important if you do launch a survey out to a series of past closed loans that you have some basis to know, do the questions make sense? Is your response rate, how much of a response rate is enough for the results to be validated? And then when you get the numbers, then you run some more statistics to it and you come up with ideas. So surveys are super, super powerful, and they're super awesome ways to get your finger on the pulse of the customer. But it's not just a random thing. You can't just throw out and ask two people, what do you think, and make a decision about that. You have to have a legitimate sample that is, as Scott Gordon was talking earlier, the scientific process. Part of the scientific process is this data validation effort, and that's how that all works. That's why we call it. That's why what I'm doing in my doctorate is basically the science of business. We're applying the scientific process to all aspects of business. That includes survey data. So surveys are awesome, but just be aware, it's not just asking two people or five people. You got to ask the right amount of people based on the population. So there's more to it.
So good.
I'll stop there.
It's good. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, that wraps up the first half of the program, and now it's time to get into the Hot Topics segment. And we're continuing last week's roundtable discussion about things that we're seeing going on in the industry.
You've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex, Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. So good to have them as our newest sponsor. The MBA, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative, the two co-ops in our advertising group, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, and Vidyard.